When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
And another monstrous day on the program, boys and girls. His name is Q Myers. My name is Joe Fortenball. This is Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Last night was a phenomenal night in the world of sports. On the ice, monster comeback for the Avalanche. Two overtimes for the Rangers and the Hurricanes. Basketball is firing on all cylinders. Q Myers, I start right here. I know today's our last day together. I don't know if I'm going to let you go, my man. Pizza money picks are 8-4 since you arrived. You might be my good luck charm.
I'm just saying, man. You know, hey, look, when you're rolling and it's hot, man, you got to keep it going, right? I'm just saying we might have to make some improvisations around here. I came in today as the show opened up, flying in on my jet. Like, I came in with the arms out like I was flying in. I'm good to go, man. Let's do this.
Carlin comes back and it's like, look, Q's going to be on the show. Not really like a full-time sort of thing, but he just kind of has to be here hovering in order to keep the mojo moving in the right direction. Being the degenerate gambler, Carlin is along with myself. He'll completely understand, and right, the show will go on. Lot to get to today. Why don't we go ahead, and while everyone else is talking about one thing, everybody else zigging, we're going to zag. Let's start with this.
Drives the left baseline and rises to dunk it with two hands.
I believe the fourth quarter has belonged to J-Dub. He's been the guy carrying the Thunder here down the stretch.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the sultry sounds of a 117-95 victory. The Oklahoma City Thunder take game one of their Western Conference semifinal series matchup against the Dallas Mavericks in convincing fashion. Q, right out of the gate, are we sleeping on the Thunder? Because right now, through five playoff games, Oklahoma City is 5-0. They have outscored the opposition by a grand total of 85 points in those five games. For the math inclined, let's break that down. They're winning by 17 points per game. 8 or more points is how they've won 4 of those 5 games. They've won 3 of the 5 by 20 or more points. They swept New Orleans and blew them out of the water. They hammered Dallas in game 1. And yet, everyone's focused on Anthony Edwards in Minnesota, Jalen Brunson in New York. No disrespect to any of them. But I got to ask, are we sleeping on Oklahoma City? Because this team is nasty right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt we're sleeping on them, but for every reason that you just mentioned, right? They blew out New Orleans with no Zion. Look what Ant and company are doing against the defending champions. So it carries a little bit more weight. It carries a little bit more swag, a little bit more braggadocious time, you know? So I feel like, yeah, we're sleeping on them. And I'll be honest with you, Joe, all season long, I wrestled with myself going back and forth on what team do I believe in, OKC or Minnesota? Like, at no point throughout the course of the season did I say, you know what? Both of these teams could be really good, and they might just happen to match up in the Western Conference Finals. I never once thought that, but right now it's like two trains on a collision course.
We've said it all year long, the narrative surrounding Oklahoma City and Minnesota. Well, they're young, they're inexperienced. The playoffs are about experience. You got to make adjustments. You got to be able to win 4 and 7. Doesn't look like it's hurting either of these teams.
No.
I saw plenty of experience in L.A. with the Lakers and the Clippers. That didn't work out very well. I saw plenty of experience in Philadelphia. There's plenty of experience to go around that hasn't gone anywhere in the postseason. The Phoenix Suns are a hallmark of that. And then there's this Thunder team that does several things very well, one of which I want to point out here. Defense.
Yep.
Number 4 in the NBA in defensive efficiency. We have tried to hammer this point home on this show throughout the course of the year. In today's modern version of the NBA, your offense is your floor. Everybody can score. Everybody can shoot. The rules are tailored for you to be able to put up points. Where it matters are the teams who can get the stops. Is it any coincidence that Minnesota is up 2-0 on Denver right now? Well, it might seem a bit of a surprise, but Minnesota was the number one ranked team in defensive efficiency this season. Denver ranks 8. What about Boston being up on Cleveland? Not much of a surprise there. They're number 2 in defensive efficiency. Cleveland's number 7. Oklahoma City now up on Dallas. They're 5-0 in the playoffs, number 4 in defensive efficiency. Dallas ranks 18th. And the Knicks lead their series as well against Indiana, number 9 in defensive efficiency. Pacers rank 24th. This is not a coincidence. The last 25 years in the NBA has produced 50 teams that have played for the championship. Two teams per year in the finals times 25 years. Of those 50 teams to play for an NBA championship over the last 25 years, 40 of the 50 ranked in the top 10 in defensive efficiency. You've got to be able to get stops. And the right. best defensive teams right now in the NBA, Q Myers, are winning their series in the playoffs.
There's no doubt. But the fact of the matter is nobody will talk about the defense. Everyone will talk about Ant-Man jumping out of the gym or Jalen Brunson going for 40 or SGA having a monster game or Luka and Kyrie. Nobody's going to end up talking about the defense until it matters. And right now, Joe, as you mentioned, it matters. And so what's the team that can really flip the switch? Look how it was actually being officiated all season long. And then all of a sudden the defense gets officiated a little bit differently in the playoffs. So again, it's you're not wrong at all. Defense is so important, but until push comes to shove, aka the playoffs, the defense doesn't really matter. All we want to see is go for 120, 125 points a game, which is what we saw for the majority of the year.
I think the best way to illustrate your point is what's happening with Minnesota against Denver, because everybody is on the Minnesota train now, and it's because that defense has been stifling against the defending champs. Absolutely stifling. Couple notes from Elias. Number one, the Thunder have gotten all but two of their postseason points. Now think about that. Five games, every single point except for two have been scored by players age 25 or younger. That would be the highest percentage of points from players under 26 in a single postseason all time.
Wow.
That kind of indicates that these guys might be around for a little bit. Point number two, the only other team over 90% in a single postseason when it comes to players scoring that many points at age 25 or younger, 1951-1952, the Boston Celtics, who lost in three games to the Knicks in the Eastern Division semis, which featured a 23-year-old Bob Cousy. Do you remember that series? I remember it well.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I remember it like it was yesterday, man. I was so locked in on that one.
So back to this, though. What do you make of Oklahoma City if they make their way through this series? And we'll get through the idea. Like, Luka's banged up.
Right.
You know, Maxi Kleber's out for the series. If OKC gets through this, so many people have been quick to point out Minnesota versus Boston, Minnesota versus Boston, Minnesota versus Boston. I mean, we're overlooking OKC here. Like, they match up very well with Minnesota, do they not?
No, it's no doubt. I mean, it's going to be a slugfest between the two, right? I mean, and they battled all season, Joe. I mean, they were 1-2 all year long, right? I mean, that's just who they were. They were up there in the Western Conference, and so that's why, again, back in my head, I kept going back and forth. Okay, well, one of these young teams isn't going to be able to sustain it, but they were able to. And so I think it'll be a great matchup to see Minnesota go up against OKC. And the one thing I'll say about OKC, man, especially Thunder fans, they love themselves, their team. Right? I mean, that little community right there is, man, they go so hard in the paint for their team. I love it.
They embrace the T-shirts.
They are a fantastic basketball community.
So many places do not embrace the T-shirts. I remember covering the Warriors during the Dynasty. The front end at Roracle, everyone put the T-shirt on.
Right.
Everyone would wear the gold T-shirt. And then the playoffs moved across the bay to San Francisco, and you had a...
Well, you know, we cut different in the East Bay, man.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, man. Us East Bay cats, we got a little bit different swag than they do across the bridge.
It's more than a little bit. It's more than a little bit, having seen it. It went to Chase Center, and then all of a sudden it was like, I'll put the T-shirt on, but I'm going to put it over the Armani suit because naturally I'm coming in from Silicon Valley where I was making billions of dollars earlier today. Tell me about your boy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Again, all the focus on Brunson and Anthony Edwards, and they deserve all the respect in the world. But SGA goes 8 of 19 last night, 29 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 blocks, a steal. When he was on the court, the Thunder outscored the Mavs by 21 points.
You know the thing about SGA is he's so silky smooth and he's so good. He's Ant Edwards without the personality, without the loud talking. You know what I mean? Like, they're both fantastic players, but Ant's attitude and personality is what separates him. But SGA, man, some of the moves that he had, one of the buckets that he actually kind of hung and flipped it in, and I still don't know. It looked like he was going for a dunk, realized midair that's not going to work, flipped the ball up, it somehow hung on the rim, thought about itself for a while, wrote a letter to mom, and then dropped. I was like, what in the world is going on? I had to rewind the TV and make sure I saw that right. It was awesome.
He makes it look way too easy getting to the rim. Like, if you're streaming us right now, you're watching the highlights. He gets to the rim with incredible ease. He reminds me of a line Michael Wilbon used once on PTI. This was like 20 years ago, but it always stuck with me. He was describing Tracy McGrady, and we're talking like peak prime Tracy McGrady. Yeah. He said, the dude is as smooth as poured water. And I remember that just stuck. I loved that just image in my head, just how smooth poured water looks like. That's SGA. That's how SGA has been playing. When we're talking about Brunson and we're talking about Anthony Edwards, this is why this show wanted to start with this topic. Not enough love is being played to this Oklahoma City team. Maybe it's because of the fact that some of the time slots are late. Eastern time zone isn't watching a lot of it. Maybe it's because we've only seen them play 5 games in 3 weeks because they made such quick work in New Orleans. Whatever the case may be, do not sleep on these guys if you're jumping on the Minnesota train. It's no disrespect to Minnesota. It's just the fact that there are other players out there right now, and these guys are a formidable one. He's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fornbo. We are just getting started. The heating pad. Oh, hey, man, this is great work. The heating pad is heating up for the Denver Nuggets. We're in an 0-2 hole. Jamal Murray will be available for game 3, but should he be? That's coming up next. Q Myers, Joe Fornbo, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Like I said to start the show, Q's been my good luck charm because we are 8-4 over the 2 days that he has been here this week. 4-2 last night, up 1.85 units. The props went very well. We got very lucky with that comeback on behalf of the Colorado Avalanche, which, by the way, Handman and Evan both knew I liked the Avalanche, both quietly bet on the Stars. Stars went up 3-0, apparently had their own little side thread talking trash, and then it blew up in your face. Handman, anything to say?
Great handicap by you.
Yeah. Lucky. Very, very lucky result in that game. But we move on. We're going to go back to the ice tonight. We're going to play the Florida Panthers on the puck line against the Boston Bruins. That means we need to win by 2 or more goals. So if we win by 1, we lose. If we lose the game outright, we obviously lose. Got to win by 2 or more goals, but if we do, we get paid plus 150 for our efforts. An awful performance from the Panthers in game 1 all the way around, especially from Sergei Bobrovsky, their elite goaltender. He got lit up in that game. Now, we have precedent for this. You go back to the second-to-last game in the last series against Tampa Bay. Bobrovsky got lit up in that game. He gave up 6 goals. You know what happened the next time out? Saved 31 of 32 shots as the Panthers ran the Lightning out of the playoffs. 6-1 was your final. This is a monster bounce-back spot here for a team that was obviously rusty in game 1. We're going to go Panthers puck line at a price of plus 150. And with that, we transition to this. Carlin versus Joe. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com.
Nuggets guard Jamal Murray won't be suspended after his towel throw onto the court. Murray fined $100,000.
It's crazy how people just automatically start calling for suspensions these days.
The reality is he should be, and he has no one to blame but himself.
We are so lucky that Anthony Edwards or Carl Anthony Towns or Nikola Jokic or anybody did not tear an ACL, twist an ankle. And if that were Draymond Green or Dennis Rodman back in the day, his ass is suspended today.
Plural, to the news out of the association yesterday, Nuggets guard Jamal Murray avoids suspension. Instead, he's popped with a $100,000 fine after tossing a towel and then a heating pad in the direction of an official during Denver's 106-80 Game 2 loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves on Monday. Q Myers, you got first crack at this one. Did the NBA get it right?
No, they didn't get it right, but they had no choice, right? I mean, and you brought up the great point on yesterday's show that Game 3, Denver, the defending champs, down 2-0. The NBA wants to make sure that they at least have an opportunity to get back in this series, and they don't have an opportunity without Jamal Murray out there. So a lot of money was going to come out of his back pocket and his bank account, which ultimately did. No suspension. But, again, I live in the world of what if Draymond had done it? Right? And it would have been a suspension, no doubt about it. Wouldn't even have been thought about. That really should be what happens. But with it all being said and done and everything being even, which we know it's not, they made the decision that they had to for the sake of the product.
Yeah, we do not live in a fair world. Nope. So a lot of people will come out in the wake of something like this. They'll say it's not fair. And that does not matter. Fair is not relevant. Okay? We'd like it to be. Don't get me wrong. I wish things were fair for everybody. I really do. But the reality is that's not how the world operates, and this is another example of that. If you insert Draymond Green into Jamal Murray's place, Draymond Green is absolutely suspended in that situation. That's a fact. They're not going to let him slide for throwing not one but two objects out on the court, but Murray does not have the reputation that Draymond Green has cultivated over the last decade, yelling at officials, getting into altercations with other players, getting suspended. That's not Jamal Murray. So they're willing to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. I think the key point here, though, is the optics. The right. optics of all of this. Do you remember the way we all reacted to the Malice at the Palace?
Oh, yeah.
From a visual perspective,
yeah.
That's as bad as it gets.
Right.
Players running into the stands, getting into fights with fans, fans down on the court. It looked like complete chaos. It was as bad a look for the association as you could possibly have. The optics were horrible. As a result, the hammer had to come down. In this situation, you heard Ian Fitzsimmons on that rejoin there talking about how lucky we all are that Anthony Edwards or Carl Anthony Towns or anybody else didn't slip on a towel and get injured. Had that happened, this situation is very different. But because no one got hurt, but because he threw a towel rather than a chair, the optics aren't necessarily that bad.
And Joe,
kind of looks bad, but it's not that bad, so we don't need to suspend him.
It's a playoff game as well. If it had been a regular season game, no doubt he's suspended.
No doubt,
he's suspended in a regular season game.
Because that's easy. We want the easy out. Like you made this easy for me, Jamal. You made it easy for me. It's a regular season game. It's game number 16.
Right.
We can suspend you, and everyone feels good about that. But you suspend him in this game, now all of a sudden, is it too punitive? Are we taking the focus from the court away from the court? We're already talking about officiating left and right in this postseason. Mm-hmm. That's normal. We don't want to talk about players being suspended. And then, of course, you brought it up earlier. The idea of ratings, the idea of the NBA wanting this to go six or seven games. Like, it's not a surprise to anyone. That's not a secret. The more games you play in the postseason, the more eyeballs, the more money everybody makes. It's good for business if a series goes seven games. The NBA doesn't want to see the defending champ swept out in four. Not an ideal business model, but it could happen. So if you have an out here with Murray, if you have a way in which you can avoid suspending him, you're going to take it. And I completely understand that. Is it right? No, because you probably should have suspended him. You can't be throwing things out on the court. But ultimately, are we going to get that banged up? It'll be easy to move on from this. We moved on from the Shohei Ohtani gambling scandal. We'll move on from, are we calling this Towelgate? Is this even worthy of a gate?
Please don't put another gate on something. Well, please, I don't need no more gates, man. No more gates.
If it's not worthy of a gate, then it's not worthy of a suspension. That's how Joe Fortenbaugh lives.
$100,000 fine lets you know all you need to know. They're going to say, we're going to give you everything we can. We're going to make sure we find you as much as possible. But at the same time, we're not going to suspend you. Like, $100,000 is nothing to sneeze at, brother.
Well, I mean, you and I know, but for him, it's probably. Do you even think he notices that being withheld from his check?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care who you are. 100,000 is still 100,000, man. I don't care.
That's the point.
I don't care.
Because
you're
just thinking, like, damn, all the things you think about are what you could have done with that 100K.
Right.
Like, man, if I don't throw that towel and that heating pad, I could have just taken that 100K and put it on a roulette spin.
Could have done anything.
Awful
with
as that
it.
Sounds, it's still more fun than getting in
that
trouble.
That was a $50,000 towel and a $50,000 heating pad. Think about that.
Yeah, if his rep. All right, you know what? This is Q Myers and Joe Fortenball doing Jamal Murray and other people out there a favor. If you're smart, you're getting Jamal Murray a heating pad endorsement deal this week.
Facts.
I don't know how the hell you get a towel endorsement deal. Like, I mean, I know there's towel manufacturers, but I don't, can you
like
a towel
dry
manufacturer?
Fit towel or something? You know what I mean? Some kind of towel right. Where you don't, like, the sweat goes away immediately,
the
so
sweat
nobody
wicks.
Slips on it.
It needs to yeah. wick.
Something. I don't know. I'm sure Nike has some kind of towel that they can attach him to. Oh, no, he's a New Balance guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he's getting that Nike deal, but I mean, there's got to be – the big heating pad has to be very excited about
this. New Balance is working on it right now, I promise you.
Icy Hot coming off Shaq. Like, you know, this is you need a new generation. Shaq's been dominating Icy Hot for a while. You got to find the new face of Icy Hot moving forward. And if it's not Jamal Murray, Q Myers and Joe Fortenball will step up. I'll rub that stuff all over my body. Throwing that out there right now. Question for you. Murray's in. Going to play. Friday night. Game 3. Nuggets in an 0-2 hole on the road in Minnesota. Timberwolves right now are plus 115 to sweep the Nuggets. Wow. Of all the ways this series could end, the favorite is a sweep. Plus 115, $100 returns $115 in profit. Do they get the sweep?
I don't think so, man. There's no way I could sign up for that. Even though we've seen Minnesota dominate, these are still the defending champs. Right? And until they're not the defending champs, I still have to give them some kind of credit that they've got enough backbone, they've got enough stones in their shorts to step up and play at a higher level and show why they're the defending champs. Like, I just can't see a sweep. And I think Anthony Edwards said it great the other day. Hey, look, man, our shots were dropping. They're going to be ready in game 3. And you think that they're not? Oh, man, they're going to come out with everything blazing, man. They're ready.
All right, so under that theory, if they do not sweep, then that would mean it goes back to Denver for Game 5. Does that mean Denver then wins Game 5, sending it back to Minnesota where the Timberwolves eventually close it out?
I can see that for sure. Wrapping it up in Game 6, sure.
Wolves in 6 plus 375.
Okay, there you go. I mean, I would have more confidence that it will end there than it would in a sweep. Again, Minnesota's been playing lights out. This is nothing against them. This is just the numbers game as far as I'm concerned.
It's respect for the Nuggets. Like, we got to respect the Nuggets here, and I think you're making an excellent point. Like, we're so quick to say, well, that's over. Minnesota's in the finals. I'm surprised we haven't heard, like, you know, is Minnesota on the verge of a dynasty? I'm surprised we haven't gotten there yet. After 6 playoff wins, I'm surprised we haven't gotten I think Minnesota might be on the verge of a dynasty here. Skip through the Nuggets, skip through OKC, skip through the Eastern Conference champ, soon to be Celtics, if the Knicks might have anything to say about it, who knows. And then let's win 3 more titles, and there we go. We got ourselves a dynasty. All right, he's Q Myers, I'm Joe Fortenball. How far can Jalen Brunson take the New York Knicks? It seems like an obvious question, but the thing is, guys keep dropping. Like, are we going to need 50 a night from Brunson in order to get through this series? We're going to have that for you next. But first, our man Q has this from Indeed.
It's the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates. There's no better way to do it than through Indeed. It's a hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tools help you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring at Indeed.com/credit.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE.
That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Q Myers, Joe Fortenball, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. It's great to have you with us. Let's go to the phones. Let's get some insight. Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, kind enough to join us on the show. Windy, we appreciate the time. Let's start with the big story out of the NBA. Jamal Murray avoids a suspension for Game 3. He's hit with a $100,000 fine for his actions in Game 2 against Minnesota when he threw a heating pad and then a towel, or vice versa, out onto the court in the second quarter. Did the NBA get this right, in your opinion?
I'm both surprised and not surprised. Number one, the threshold for severe punishment under Adam Silver has just gone very, very high. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want to be known. It's obviously the opposite of David Stern, who had no problem suspending star players for Game 7's of playoff series. So, unlike people who thought yesterday was a for sure suspension, I thought it could be, but I was not sold. And so on that hand, on the other hand, I'm surprised that the NBA isn't defending its official here, because this wasn't just throwing something onto the court. He was throwing the items, there was more than one, at a referee out of anger. And in addition to it being reckless and irresponsible and dangerous to his fellow players, he is directly, you know, taking a, you know, this stance towards a referee. And, you know, the NBA has got to protect its referees, despite the job that they may do on an individual night. And so they acknowledged in the, when they fined him the $100,000, which is a lot of money for an action in a game, but it's a lot less than a suspension would have been. A suspension would have been almost four times the cost for him. They acknowledged that they were suspending him for throwing it at a referee. It wasn't like they ignored that, and they didn't do it. So if you're a referee in the NBA, it's been a tough week. There's been some calls that have not looked so good, and now I guess the league's office has had your back, but not in a way that's really meaningful, in my opinion.
Windy, were you surprised that there was nothing to do about the money symbol sign that he made that Alan Hahn pointed out this morning?
You know, I didn't even know about that till Alan, we talked about in the production meeting early this morning. When you consider that Rudy Gobert was fined $100,000 for that. Now, Gobert was way more demonstrative, you know, walking up and down the court doing it. And Gobert has had a history of claiming to be, you know, screwed over by officials. But considering that that happened, and the throwing of the towel and the throwing of the heating pad, all of that, the $100,000 fine's getting, you know, it's aging worse by the hour. But I will say this, you know, Jamal Murray is under a lot of pressure in any action he has with referees the rest of the postseason, and to play much better than he's played, because he has not been good in this series now.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, kind enough to join us, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Windy, I've said this about you off-air several times. I'll say it on-air today. One of the reasons I love having you on, very reasoned, very measured, voice of reason, I should say, on a lot of topics. Some of us tend to get out over our skis. I don't know if you've ever noticed that here at ESPN, some of the reactions we have.
Once or twice.
Right, maybe once or twice. But, you know, when so many people were already talking about the Knicks being the biggest threat to Boston, you said, hold on, you know, you still got to get past Cleveland or Orlando. You weren't predicting that there'd be an upset, but you do bring up that point, and it's a good point. I bring that up because we're in love with what Minnesota's doing right now. And yes, maybe they do get past Denver. But it feels like everyone's sleeping on this OKC team. They have just been hammering people, and they've been good all regular season long. If we fast forward and it is OKC-Minnesota, how much of a threat are the Thunder to the T-Wolves?
Yeah, so the thing about the first off, at the start of this round, I thought any of the four teams could have won the West. I'm a little bit concerned about Dallas now, because Luka's knee looks like it's going to be a real issue, and he has said that. But the Thunder, they have two things that are really, really going for them. All these teams have star players. All those teams in the Western Conference especially all have great players. So they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I think tomorrow you will see will be end up second in the MVP voting when it comes out tomorrow. So obviously they have that star. They have two things that are really going for them. One, they have killer perimeter defenders. Killer. I'm telling you, Lu Dort is one of the most difficult players to play against in the league in the last two decades. And the fact that he isn't known is because he rose to power and prominence as the Thunder were rebuilding. But you, as the Thunder start going through playoff runs the next few years, you're going to start hearing Lu Dort's name compared to some of the great all-time defensive specialists, guys like Michael Cooper, guys like Bruce Bowen, stuff, guys like that, because that's how he is. He practically sent Brandon Ingram to therapy in the last round and what he did to him. Being 4 or 5 inches shorter. And he was all up in Luka's face last night. Now, Luka is limited, and Luka is going to win more often than not against most defenders. But he caused him, I think, he was like 2 of 9 shooting or 2 of 7 shooting against him. He had 4 turnovers. Like, so they have him. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is an excellent defender. They have this guy that comes off the bench, Cason Wallace, excellent defender. Jalen Williams, 6'8", excellent defender. Chet Holmgren will get pushed around, will get dunked on and get embarrassed, and he will block your shot into your face 4 or 5 times a game. Excellent defender. These guys, I know they're maybe not the Timberwolves in terms of their team defense. Awesome across the board. Secondly, they believe in 10 different guys. They can play 10 different guys. They don't care how they play them. They change per night, and that gives them tremendous versatility.
Wendy, I wanted to look at the Eastern Conference side of things real quick in the Knicks, and it feels like it's the Villanova 3, but it's really the starters, and their bench isn't really giving them too much production. How much is that going to impact them, whether it's against the Pacers or moving on in the playoffs?
Yeah, they've now lost three of their sort of 8 best players. And, you know, they're running out of players. And, you know, Josh Hart has played 48 minutes 3 times so far in the playoffs. And I don't see that not continuing in competitive games. If there's blowouts or something on either way, he could get sat down. But I don't see Tibbs reaching down his bench. So he's going to play 7 guys. And, you know, the other night, Deuce McBride didn't play that well. He got totally outplayed by TJ McConnell. So he just quit playing him. You know, he's basically been playing, you know, the other night he basically played 6.5 players because Mitchell Robinson was aching and hurt, obviously now out, and he didn't play a Chua that much, and he didn't like what McBride gave him. So I add those into those 3 guys in like 1.5 players. And so that's the way they're going to play. DiVincenzo is going to play 44, 46 minutes. Hart's going to play 46, 48 minutes. Brunson's going to play 44, 45. It's the way it's going to be. The only thing I can say, it's obviously very dangerous. It's obviously they're very fragile at this point, but they have played this way for months, and I watched them repeat. They have played 6 clutch games so far in the playoffs, and they've won 5 of them. So say whatever you want. Say that it's going to catch up with them. Say that it's robbing from Peter to pay Paul. All that can be true. Playing this way has prepared them to win in the high-stakes games, and it's working.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA Insider, always very gracious with his time. Wendy, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys. Have a good day.
All right. There's a lot more to sort through based on what we just heard, what we haven't gotten to, what we have got to. Huge day on the show. The Celtics absolutely annihilate the Cavaliers in game 1. I'm going to tell you something. I think there's an issue with that. Not some hokey hot take. I just think there's something that's missing from Boston that might rear its head at the absolute worst moment. We're going to have that for you next. He's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. This is Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
And the clock hits triple zeros, and it is over. The Celtics strike first in the Eastern Conference semifinals. The final score, Boston 120, Cleveland 95.
We got a really, really talented team. Shows the depth of our team and, you know, how we can win games in a lot of different ways.
We're at the point now where winning is the most important thing, and nothing can get in the way of that.
It's going to be tough for a team to have to beat us. As long as we come out and we execute on both ends and we're the harder playing team, I think we'll be fine.
Alongside Q Myers, I'm Joe Fortenball. This is Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. Q, these Celtics games stink. I'm not going to try to mince words. I was saying it last night watching them. They're that impressive. They're blowing everybody out, but these games stink. Like, as the game's playing out, I keep thinking to myself, I just want to get the Thunder Mavericks.
Right.
I just want to get the Thunder Mavericks, and I'm focusing on hockey as well. You get the multi-TV setup. These Celtics games stink. They are not competitive. The Celtics are that good. We are now six games into Boston's 2024 playoff run. They won by 20, 20, 14, 34, and 25 in their victories, hammering Cleveland last night by 25 in a game where Donovan Mitchell played well and they still weren't even sniffing competition in this one. So first off, start with this. General thoughts on the Celtics right now and all these blowouts. I mean, are they as good as advertised, or is this more an indictment of the competition?
No, I mean, they're as good as advertised. When they were dominating throughout the course of the season, that's what they were doing. They were doing exactly that, dominating. And, you know, Joe, we live in a multitask world where we're always doing extra things. We're doing multiple things, as you mentioned, checking out multiple monitors or TVs or whatever the case may be. They are the perfect team for that because we don't have to stay at the edge of our seat and stay locked in. They're that team that we look up, they're like, yep, they're up by 10, okay. Look up, they're up by 18, not a surprise. Like, I'm still locked in. They are the one team that does not have to keep our attention the whole game for us to still know what's going on because they've been that stinking good.
I wonder if that's going to be a problem for them later. Because the one thing with the Celtics that I think we all realized last year is that if there is a weakness, it's these really tight, high-leverage, late-game scenarios where they seem uncertain. Right. They have two superstars who can rotate having monster nights. Jason Tatum's only shooting 25% from three in the postseason. He's playing well. He's not playing great. But Jaylen Brown had a monster game last night. There's no problem. Mm-hmm. He picked up the slack. Derek White's been playing very well. But it always feels like one night you get the Jason Tatum night, one night you get the Jaylen Brown night. And they go back and forth. And it's such a luxury right up until you're down three with 90 seconds to go in a crucial game. And then no one knows who's going to take the shot. Like, they just become uncertain. Jaylen Brown becomes uncertain. Jason Tatum becomes uncertain. Joe Mazzulla doesn't manage the situation properly. And before you know it, the Celtics lose a game that many thought they should have won. And the problem right now is that through six playoff games, they haven't played a single close game yet. The one weakness they have, they haven't had a chance to get in the ring, have a 15-round sparring session to see if they're ready to go for the fight Saturday night at 1 a.m. Right. They are not testing themselves in that regard. They're blowing everybody out. And I wonder, when you eventually run into an opponent that's going to push you to the brink, how are you going to respond? Because you haven't been able to work on the biggest problem you had last year, which is late game closing. You're blowing everybody out. And I wonder if you have to have that on-the-job training against Minnesota or whoever it may be in the finals or the Knicks in the next round, how do you respond when you haven't been put to the test at any point this postseason?
Well, hold on. I got a phone call. It's UConn head coach Danny Hurley on the line, and he says, we have a problem in close games, so let's just blow everybody out.
Right.
And they did, and they went on to win the championship. No problem. If you can't win close ones, blow them out. And guess what? That's what Boston's doing.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Danny Hurley just said, let's just take the problem and eliminate it from the equation. Let's never get into a close late game scenario.
That's the only phone call I'll take while I'm on the air, by the way.
Okay, let's actually indulge that for a moment. Is it possible that the Celtics are that good that they can just blow everybody out all the way through the playoffs? I'm not saying every single night sweep.
Right,
they
right.
lose a couple games along the way. But ultimately, they're just putting together 3 to 4 blowouts in every round, and then we all look back and say, damn, this Celtics team was that good.
sometimes, Joe, you are who you are, yeah, right? And that's just who they are. So if they're going to win, and there's a good chance that they do and find their way in the NBA Finals, the way that they're going to do it is having to play their style. I'm not going to ask them to change. I'm not going to ask them to have games that are a little bit tighter where they can test out their adversity skills, and if they can overcome, who takes the last shot? Who cares who takes the last shot when you're up 19, right? Yeah, it's like, what do they say in football? What's the best formation?
Victory formation.
That's exactly what they're trying to do, but on the hardwood. They're trying to go through victory formation late in the fourth quarter.
That's the thing. Like, you see some of these teams, and you watch their evolution. Some come together really quick, but Orlando's one of those teams where you watch them lose that game seven, and you think, these guys will be back. These guys are going to learn from this. Why? Because they just lost to a team that learned from it the previous year. Mm-hmm. Cleveland went to the playoffs two postseasons ago. They got waxed by the Knicks in the opening round, and they came back, and they were just a little bit tougher, a little bit wiser, a little bit better off this season, so that when they were pushed to the brink against Orlando, they knew how to draw on those experiences and win a big game. Some teams don't go through that, and they just find themselves middling. Like, that's one of the reasons why Kansas City is so incredible when it comes to their dominant run as of late. They've been in so many tight, late-game, high-leverage situations that when they find themselves in another one thing is certain. They will not panic.
Right.
They're very calm.
Right.
You watch the Niners panic with some of their decision-making at the end of that Super Bowl. But Kansas City was like, look, a few weeks ago, we had a very difficult situation in a late-game scenario against Buffalo. Every postseason, we have found ourselves in these jams. During the regular season, we have three or four of these games on Sunday night or Monday night where it comes right down to the wire, and mm-hmm. we don't win them all, but right. we're so used to the situation, we won't be overwhelmed by the moment. Boston just blowing everybody out and never finding themselves in that moment. I shudder to think, but I also think that's why the Knicks could be the best opponent for them in the next round. A team capable of pushing them, but possibly not capable of fully closing it out four times in seven games.
The one thing about the Knicks, and if they were to get to that situation where they're playing Boston, they have to, first of all, keep it close. Right. Again, my big concern when it comes to the Knicks is always the fact that they go on droughts. And if Boston is blowing you out, guess what? That means that you better keep up with them. They're going to compete defensively as well. The other thing I look at Boston, Joe, and say, they're not youngsters. They're not kids. They're, you know, a veteran team, right? I know that their head coach doesn't have the most experience. He hasn't got to the mountaintop on that level. But you've got Brown. You've got, you've got Tatum. These two dudes are supposed to be your alpha dogs. So even if they do get in that moment, they better find a way not to hyperventilate and calm down and make it happen. Because as you mentioned, KC, the reason why they don't hyperventilate, they got some guy with the number 15.
Yep.
He makes everybody calm.
Yep, that was the Warriors, too, back in their playoff run. They had Steph Curry. They knew who they could lean on late. They knew they could get the stops defensively, very calm in the biggest of spots. Q Myers, Joe Fornball, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla was asked where his team could improve as they continue their quest to try and win an NBA championship. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I think so. I think both ends of the floor. I think if you really want to get to where you want to get to against teams like this, you can always fight for another level. And so I think the balance of knowing you've done a lot of good things, but also knowing, you know, there's like 10 to 15 possessions, and that's what we've said all year. Win or lose, there's 10 to 15 possessions you want to clean up. So just working through those and just having that mindset of like getting better every day.
Boston right now, plus 120 to win by sweep.
Wow.
Like, do you see Cleveland winning a game in this series? Mitchell just went for 30-plus in a game where he played really well, and they still weren't in it.
I feel like Boston will play with their food for one game, right?
Yeah,
I think Cleveland will get one, and we'll all look up and be like, did they figure it out? No, it's just Boston. just played with their food. They took a L. They'll be fine. That's kind of what the story of Boston's been, right? I mean, even closing out the season before they were actually the number one seed, it was like, man, they have this opportunity to be this number one seed. Wow, they lost to that team? What are they doing? They'll be fine. They're good. What matters to them is when they find their way into the NBA, to the Eastern Conference Finals, that they do what they've got to do to get back to the NBA Finals. Then all bets are off. Then it's game on.
Any concern on your behalf that Tatum is really struggling right now from long range? He's hitting 25% of his shots from three-point range. I don't know how many he's put up, but he hasn't had his rhythm. And I'm not just talking about game one from last night. The entire postseason, he's been a little off there.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some concern because, again, if your bread and butter is blowing teams out, you can't have an off night, right? And if you do have an off night, luckily your teammates are backing you up and they're carrying you right now. But what if they have a bad night? right? And then all of a sudden you get into that moment where it's a close game. And then you get into that situation that you haven't been in. And you might get a little tight around the collar. Your shorts might fit a little tighter, right? You might all of a sudden start puckering up a little bit. And that's the problem. That's what they can't have.
All right. We got plenty more to get to throughout the course of this show. We got a lot of bets we're going to lay out throughout the course. We've already given out the Panthers on the puck line tonight, -1.5. That's at a price of +150. We've got the Knicks game tonight. Plenty to break down there. We've got more on ice action. This show is absolutely stacked. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get focused. We're going to ask you a question and see if you want to get involved in the conversation. Which team still alive in the playoffs has the best 1-2 punch going? Who's the best dynamic duo, the best tandem, whatever you want to call it, Batman and Robin? It seems easy, and then you start working through the permutations. There are some issues there. We're going to discuss that next. He's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. This is Carlin versus Joe, right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin versus Joe podcast.